The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Here's the idea for the next 10 pods. We can do Paddy's little holiday review. 40 minutes of review.
Like Catherine Thomas here, no frontiers.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Now then, you're welcome back. So very happy to say Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe is with us. Hi Tara, long time no talk.
Absolutely, nice to be with you again. How you doing?
Yeah, very well. Brady versus Belichick. You guys lost your minds over this. Big topic, big topic. I was reading, I mean, I keep meaning to look it up on YouTube. Adele was drafted in to sell this. Can you paint the picture?
Well, by NBC, yes, they had, it was so melodramatic, but it did hit some great notes in the lead up to the game. And they had her voice with some of the lyrics about, hello, I haven't seen you in a while. Hello, greetings from the other side. And, you know, the slow dramatic close-ups on Brady in his new uniform and Belichick still in his Patriots uniform, and you know it was all in the lead up and what it would be like, and I haven't seen you in so long. So they did a good job with it, I have to say.
Okay, because I mean NBC weren't even shy about selling this game for what it was, because I saw, you know, just watching the game myself, even when they cut to commercial and in and out of the game, I mean often if you were going to have a picture of one manager in kind of a face-off, you would pay the other coach the same respect and have him there, but not a bit of it. I mean, it was Brady one side, Belichick the other. So, you know, there was in terms of status, I mean, I'm still not entirely sure who the Tampa coach is, but he wasn't featuring here on the TV front, that's for sure.
Well, I think Bruce Arians is safe enough, and, you know, with his Super Bowl win from last year, he didn't mind not being seen. That's the Bucs coach. But it's been, even in an American sports landscape where it feels like we have every potential storyline all the time and there's so many things going on, I do think this was exceptional and unique. You know, what they built together and what they did together for 20 years and how successful they were. And then, you know, how it was this very strange sort of left fully unexplained parting, and there, you know, hints of acrimony, enough hints of dissatisfaction on both sides that it just made for great drama. It really was unlike anything we'd seen. And then you throw out that, you know, you throw out there that they're each the GOAT, the greatest of all time in their respective fields. And, you know, and Brady is 44 years old and still doing it at this level. And Belichick is still chasing the all-time win record in NFL history that's held by Don Shula. Like, there were so many elements, I think, that made it unique. And you mentioned NBC. I saw the numbers and they had over 250 media credentials themselves from NBC. So they had their set on site during the day. They had their morning show. You know, anything they could think of was all in the building. It really felt like a Super Bowl. Helicopters overhead. You know, the parking lots were filled early. It really had the feel of anything but a regular season game.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about the game in a moment. For anyone who didn't see it, ultimately, Tom Brady emerged victorious. Tampa Bay beat the Patriots 19 points to 17. Very dramatic. This is game week 4. We're still early in the season. But you mentioned there the parting of the ways between Brady and Belichick. And that absolutely bubbled up in advance of this game in various quarters. So to my eye, it looks like Tom Brady is playing this in a very magnanimous way and talking about tremendous memories and some of the greatest experiences of my life took place in those 20 years is how he's talking about his relationship with Belichick. But two things jumped to mind, or two aspects here jumped up during the week. His, well, I guess close friend as well, but his personal trainer, Alex Guerrero, spoke of the dynamic between the pair. And he said, it was like Bill's emotions or feelings never evolved with age. As Tom got into his late 30s or early 40s, I think Bill was still trying to treat him like that 20-year-old kid that he drafted. That was such a Bill thing, said Guerrero. And I know there's not much love lost between those two. But then equally, Brady's father was talking in advance of the game as well. And he was asked whether his son felt vindicated after leaving New England and winning another Super Bowl last year with the Bucs. And he said, damn right. Belichick wanted him out the door. And last year, Tom threw 50 touchdowns. I think that's a pretty good year. I don't suspect either of those are saying that without Tom Brady say so one way or another.
I would agree with you. I don't know if it's an explicit say so, but I think I'm sure there's enough understanding on Tom's part that those are some of the mouthpieces he has out there that will say things that he won't say. He did in the aftermath kind of say, oh, it's just friends. You know, you all have friends will stick up for you. And he read when he does this weekly interview with Jim Gray before the Monday night, you know, he read this sort of mock press release about how his his dad doesn't speak for him and should, you know, cease and desist speaking for him, whatever. And he had a little fun with it. But I think you obviously can't ignore that stuff because Brady's not going to say it himself. So I think it was an effort to just sort of grease the storyline skids a little bit, that Brady does want people to know that had the Patriots been willing to give him a long-term extension before, at least, you know, 2 to 4 years before his last contract ran out, or perhaps had they given him a little more say in some of the personnel decisions so that he could have had some more weapons around him, which he clearly does have in Tampa Bay, you know, that he might have stayed. I think he wants people, especially the fans in New England, to realize that, you know, when people say, when Bill Belichick says out loud, well, Tom made up his mind, he just decided Tampa was a better option. Brady wants people to know that there's a reason New England wasn't a better option, and that's on Belichick. So there was definitely a little bit of gamesmanship going on there with the comments.
Yeah, and I have to say, I hadn't really been aware of that dynamic. I mean, maybe hardcore fans are you're absolutely aware that this was more Belichick's doing than Brady, the departure, that is. And you would have to say, Tara, it looks like an absolutely massive mistake on Belichick's part. I mean, New England have suffered massively since he left. Last season was their first losing record since the pre-Brady era. Brady wins the Super Bowl, and this year, even at 44, looks fantastic. Leads the NFL with 10 passing touchdowns this season. That brings a total in 23 games with the Bucs, including playoffs, to 60, which is 5 more than he had in his last 2 seasons with the Patriots. I would think there's a few curious glances towards Belichick from fans, from owners, as if to say, Bill, you got this one badly wrong.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt in the end, Brady had more in the tank than Belichick thought he had. I mean, I think that's inarguable at this point, especially if you go back through Belichick's decisions and, you know, going back to Jimmy Garoppolo, who maybe he thought he had his successor all the way back then. I just don't think he ever anticipated that Brady would actually be this good this late into his life. So it's hard to argue that it wasn't the wrong decision from a personnel standpoint. I just don't see how you can make that argument. But that being said, I do think across those final years, as it became a little clearer that maybe Belichick wasn't going to make some of the personnel moves or things that Brady wanted, I think Brady became enough of, I don't know, distraction maybe is too strong a word, but his body language, his frustration spilled over. Like, I think in that last season in particular, it was pretty clear that he needed to move on as well. Whether you want to say it never should have gotten to that point, I think there's a fair argument to be made there, but it did reach that point. And I think at that point toward the end, even Brady just had to get a, you know, he had to leave because it had gotten untenable, I think, between them. Not in any like really bad, ugly public way, but in the way that it does after 20 years, you know, people get sick of each other. And I think they got sick of each other.
And do we know how unreasonable or otherwise Brady's demands were in his final year or two?
No, I don't think there was anything crazy. I think, well, except that to say, you know, Belichick is just not the kind of general manager, you know, in American football, like the coach is one position who makes the X's and O's decisions on the field. The general manager is the one making the roster decisions. And usually in American football, those are two different people in the NFL. And it's rare that as many of the people want both responsibilities, they don't often give them. But Belichick has both. And he runs the personnel decisions and the on the field decisions. And I think that, you know, by his decisions, he kind of just made it clear that he wasn't willing to perhaps let Brady have as much input. And I think we've seen that in Tampa. I do think he has a little more fun, you know, a little more input even in the offensive game plan and whatever. But I don't get on Belichick for that because this guy, you know, he's the best coach we've ever seen. And if he wants full control, you know, I think that's just another indicator that they probably needed to part ways.
Mm. You know, I got to say, I wonder about that a little bit. I mean, they're all equal, but some are more equal than others. And Tom Brady is certainly in that category. And you've got to think Brady understands football. His demands or the players he was looking at or the things he was thinking, you know, you've got to think they wouldn't have been a million miles off the mark. And you wonder if Belichick should have had the good sense to placate him a bit more.
Yeah, it's such an interesting discussion because, you know, I know like friends who worked in Dallas with the Dallas Cowboys for years, Tony Romo was sort of given a lot of that input and special treatment early on in his career because he was the big time quarterback. And I think it had a diminishing return. Like it, there was a different standards in the locker room and it ended up dividing the team. And so I think that Belichick, in his experience, it's always, it's not to say he doesn't treat veterans differently, because he absolutely does. You can see it with a Devin McCourty. You can see it through the years, Matthew Slater, other guys. I just think he was very much, you know, it's my team. And for most of those years, it worked to perfection. Like nobody's going to trade back those 20 years when they won six titles. So yes, Brady is more equal than other people, but in the end, it just wasn't a philosophical decision, I think, that Belichick was prepared to make. Mm. And I think you're right. You could argue that he's an idiot for not doing it. You know, I mean, I think that's fair because, yeah. You know, Brady's the Super Bowl defending champion.
Well, right now, it just doesn't look like a good decision on any level. And it also diminishes Belichick's own legacy a touch. So to posit here an argument that you can absolutely shoot down, you know, in double quick time, but I'm curious if anyone else is making the argument. Is there anyone saying, well, Bill, without Tom Brady here, who, by the way, wins with Tampa, and so, you know, makes their coach look pretty damn good as well, maybe you're not all that?
There are people who say it, and I would vehemently disagree. You know, I think that theirs was a marriage of equal parts, and neither one does without the other. I think to say that the Brady who won in Tampa wasn't in large part helped or formed or helped to be created by the Brady who learned from Belichick and brought the sort of the Patriot way and the Belichick way to Tampa, I think is just ignoring what they did together. So to me, you know, it doesn't take anything away from Brady. It's amazing what he's done. I think he's one of the most exceptional, amazing athletes I've ever watched. But for me, in terms of Belichick, like what he did with Brady should never be seen as like some big mistake of his or anything. To me, Brady is his greatest coaching achievement as well because of what they did together. So was he wrong to let him go? I think it's inarguable if you're just basing it on the result, but was it time to let him go? Maybe it just was. I don't know. It's a tough one. You make a fair point though.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I'm half playing devil's advocate as well.
fair enough.
You know more about this than me. So Brady and Belichick, they hugged it full time. It was a brief hug, I would say, although it does seem that Belichick went into the Bucs locker room afterwards for a conversation with Brady. So look, if there's a degree of acrimony or a degree of Brady being quite content to prove Belichick wrong, it hasn't soured their relationship to the extent that they're clearly not in talking terms or speaking terms, rather.
Right, that's correct. And Belichick went in there after he finished speaking to the media in his own room, and he went in and he was in there for about 20 minutes by all reports. And, you know, and Brady acknowledged it afterwards, just said that, you know, the details of it were private, but that they were fine. And that Brady talked about, you know, ultimately, whenever the day comes that he retires, if it's 20 years from now, who knows, but that, you know, he always envisions or anticipates being back in Boston, being back in New England, being a part of the community, going to games. So there's not like some lingering, oh my God, I'm done with the Patriots, I never want to go back there, or I'm done with Belichick and he spoiled everything New England for me. That's not at play at all. I think he just wanted the fresh, you know, it's fascinating. You definitely, even the Brady we see now, he says more things openly. He's more controversial. He posts these hilariously goofy videos with Rob Gronkowski. You know, those are things he just couldn't or couldn't do in New England. So I think he's just enjoying this time away, but eventually he will be defined primarily by the time in New England and by his time with Belichick. And he's fine with that.
Mm. As for the game itself, 19 points to 17, a win for Tampa. There was a 56-yard field goal in the rain. It was an incredible kick, hit the upright. So drama to the end. What kind of reception did Brady get back from his old beloved fans?
Yeah, he got a few Brady chants before the game started. He got a great ovation as he entered, you know, from the visiting tunnel, which was the opposite one he was used to. They played a nice, short but nice video tribute as he was introduced, and then they quickly turned to I wouldn't say full-throated boos, but clearly then the crowd turned and was rooting for the Patriots to beat him. And I, you know, the Patriots did a good job. They contained Brady. Brady's not the reason that Tampa won that game. I mean, they had a you know, Brady was pretty contained. He was off his mark. They did a nice job getting pressure on him. He didn't throw a touchdown pass. They scored a bunch of field goals. So I thought it was a very entertaining, well-played, well-coached game on both sides.
How is he playing generally, age 44 now?
Well, that was So that's his second. He had lost the week's previous game in California, which was their team, which was the Bucks' first loss. He's played great. He's played outstanding. Like I said, he has a really good offensive line in front of him in Tampa. So he's had time to throw, which was the one thing that the Patriots managed to disrupt a little bit. So it'll be interesting to me to see if the Patriots' blueprint is picked up at all as we go forward, as other teams face the Bucks now. But he looks fabulous. I mean, the guy is a marvel. He looks great. He looks mobile. He looks accurate. He looks like Brady that we're used to seeing, and it's crazy. It doesn't make sense to me.
Mm. Has he talked about when he's going to retire, or is it just a year-by-year kind of answer?
It's still out there. He says he wants to play to 50. That's 6 more years, you know? And I don't, at this point, who would doubt him?
Yeah. So you've the Bucs, defending champions. Kansas City, I think, are favorites at this point of the season to win the title outright. Bills are strong. Baltimore Ravens strong. How do you see this all playing out over the next couple of months, Tara?
Yeah, the Chiefs have been up and down. I'm surprised if the odds makers at the current moment would still have them as a heavy favorite, because they've had some uncharacteristic
two wins, two losses.
Mistakes. Yeah, they've just been a little up and down. I think Arizona is the surprise team of the season if people are watching them at all. The Cardinals are look really good, and their quarterback play has been excellent. Buffalo, as you said, after one bad start, they've been racking up points like crazy. I think Green Bay is always a spoiler because you have the Aaron Rodgers situation. It looks like he might be headed out of Green Bay after this season, and he may be motivated by that and kind of, you know, I want to prove to the world that I can win again. So those are some of the teams. Yeah, those Baltimore is always interesting. They've had so many injuries, particularly at running back. I don't know how that'll go. But the Bucs are right up there. You know, the Bucs are definitely right up there too, because they brought everybody back from the team that won the Super Bowl.
Very good. Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe. Great to have you on again. Talk to you soon, Tara. Cheers.
Indeed. Thank you.